Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, Reiki Master Teacher and author of Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection, and The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and ways to recognize and use intuition or inner wisdom for improving life. I am most delighted to welcome John J. Miller, a medical doctor and author of the Book of Spells, which shares a story of a time and place where magic is the norm and good and evil are at odds, and where maybe the gentle are stronger than they ever imagined. Hello, Dr. Miller, and thank you for joining us today on Healing From Within.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for having me on your show.
John, as listeners of Healing From Within are so well aware, my guests and I share intimate stories and insights in our search for a better understanding of the universal laws of energy, the metaphysical experience of life, and the search to know ourselves in our complete physical and energetic combination. For to remember the mysteries of life, we must begin with our individual mysteries and discover who we are, where we come from, and how to improve our life journey with wisdom and true knowing. And your book is such a tale. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Dr. Miller will share his fictional tale of a time and place long ago, the search for understanding good and evil, which show us many of the concerns we have in modern day life and a way to appreciate our divine potential for healing and living in joy and prosperity as we may eventually come to realize. You know, John, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person, a place, or event that may have shown them or others the interests, values, and lifestyle they might explore in adulthood. So think back for a minute.
Okay. Do you want me to go on?
Yeah, tell us a story of something in your childhood or early life that was important.
Basically, when I was 5 years old, I grew up just outside of Philadelphia. So when I was 5 years old, I had a fever for a while, and they diagnosed me as having cancer. I had a neuroblastoma on my left side. So at that time, I went into the local hospital. The cancer was taken out, and I was in the hospital for a month in a pediatric ward of 12 children. And in those days, I mean, this was 67, 68 years ago. In those days, we didn't have iPhones, iBooks, televisions, games, books to read, anything. We had nothing. And what I would do each day is just basically gaze out the window of our dormitory room there. And there was this large chimney, this brick chimney that would be belching this white smoke out of its top. And in my mind, I would form these images of different things such as dragons and horses and knights and whatnot, just to while away the hours of the day. And I think that's when my imagination basically got engaged and opened up. And then later on, I remember when I was 10 years old, I kept telling my buddies in third and fourth grade that all I wanted to be was a pediatrician when I grew up. And then lo and behold, as things went on and progressed in my life, I studied and entered medical school, then residency, and became a pediatrician. I've been one for the past 45 years.
I like to think that the experiences we have are part of a divine plan for each of us to recognize what we came into this life to explore and how to refine our soul energy. And that experience was not nothing. You said you had nothing like what the children have today with social media and all the technology. You had something very special. You had your imagination and your time, a time for you to connect to your higher thoughts, even at that young age, and to discover what was important to you through that illness. So I consider it part of your journey, a very important part of your journey. And
Those
Absolutely.
difficult times lead us to the courage within us and the ability to defeat and conquer all challenges, many challenges. I shouldn't say all, many challenges. So thank you for Correct.
telling us that story. Now, why did you decide to write this book, and which age group do you think the book is geared towards?
Well, this book is geared, this is the first book in a trilogy. This book is geared towards the middle school up until about 14, 15 years of age. And I started writing these with the intent and purpose that I wanted to give something back to the kids that are hospitalized. I've been around hospitals for 45 years. I know what a scary place they are. And I want the kids to read something to not only develop their reading skills, but to help them to escape the anxiety of being in such a foreign and hostile environment in the hospital. They're not used to that. So I started writing these books, and what I'm going to plan to do is to donate as many books as I can to kids that are in hospitals throughout the country. And hopefully, once I get the total nonprofit going through the IRS, we'll be able to do that.
Excellent. And you know what? Let me just say this. I enjoyed your book tremendously, and I'm an
Oh,
adult,
excellent.
and I don't think it's just for 14 or 15-year-olds. I think it's for those young at heart and those who want to remember the magic of possibilities of their own childhood and life and the joy in their own life and the magical, the mystical, and I think there are many, many adults, myself included, who love to talk to the children because we hear the truth. They haven't been jaded yet. They haven't been, lost into other people's socialized programs. They are themselves and very close to a higher intelligent energy. Call it what you will, the divine,
I agree.
God, spirit, and that's what your book inspires—a love for that that should never really be lost, never really.
Well, I love you saying that. Thank you for saying that. In fact, as a quick addendum, one of the doctors that I work with happened to read the book on one of the nights she was working. She said she couldn't put it down, and then she realized there were only 20 pages left in the first book. She was very upset. She wanted it to keep going on.
Well, as an intuitive empath and a Reiki practitioner and medium in meditation, I deal with the higher realm. You can call it the imagination connected to all of life, like a computer downloads so much information. But I call it spirit and souls and teachers and loved ones, and that's what your book is about. The possibilities
Exactly.
of magic, but it's not really magic. It's our gift, our human and divine gift to share a creative force that is good for helping us evolve and develop all our potentials. So I think the book is good for all of that. Now, let's go to your own healing journey as a child and how you believe doctors and people caring for the ill have learned to incorporate many other tools to encourage the healing process. Because what is the healing process? What is true healing?
Well, it depends on whether you're talking about from the medical aspect or from the emotional aspect or a combination of everything.
Everything.
And I believe it's a combination of everything. And I enjoy talking to parents when they bring their kids in to be seen. I enjoy talking to the kids too. In fact, if a child comes in, you can immediately tell the child is quite nervous about walking in your clinic.
Oh,
Because
I bet.
most times when they've walked in before, they've gotten shots. So a lot of times when I see them on the weekend, they're not coming in for shots. They're coming in because the parents are concerned. They have a little bit of a fever or a cough. So immediately, a lot of times, I'll start talking to the child right away instead of the parent because I already know ahead of time why they brought the child in. It's on the chart, the electronic chart. So I'll walk in the room, introduce myself, and then start talking to the child and asking them how school is, how they're doing. The little girls, I ask them, so who made you so pretty, your mommy or your daddy? And some of the responses
I
are
know.
quite out there.
Funny.
One little girl told me, her mother and father are sitting there. I said, so who made you so cute? And she goes, my grandmother. She wasn't even there.
Well, 'cause she maybe she looks a little like her grandmother, or they say she looks a little like, or she just loves her that much that she wants
Probably.
to be like her grandmother. Yeah, it's beautiful.
But if you engage the children immediately, it sort of puts them a little bit more at ease. And then I also talk to the parents and find out what's going on. And I try to put the parents' concerns at ease too. Because a lot of times they'll bring the kids in and it's something that's not that dire and they don't need that much done to them, but they just want the reassurance that their child's fine. It's just a virus, nothing to worry about. Here's how you treat it. Any further problems or complications, just let us know. We're here to take care of you.
Yeah,
So.
you're there as a medical practitioner, and I do the same in my Reiki practice, to set up an environment for the person to get to know themselves better, be more comfortable in their physical life and world, and to validate their own truths, and to just be more of who they are instead of all the expectations that they hold, perhaps given to them from other people. So that's what you're doing. You're setting up a beautiful environment for them to relax so that healing can take place, because that's the only way healing of symptoms or any other emotional issue can take place, in an environment
Exactly.
of relaxation and calm. Yeah.
And I want the kids to feel comfortable when they come in. And a lot of times after they see me once or twice, they do feel comfortable
Yes.
when they come in this morning. So it works
It's
from both aspects.
very important, and thank you for saying that. So let's go back to the book for a minute. Let's give
Okay.
a summary of the storyline and some of the characters, because it's very interesting. It starts out with Theodora and her two sisters, and it's in Old England in the 7th century. So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, basically, it starts out with the three sisters, and as the book progresses a little bit, you find out that the three sisters are witches. And they're basically good witches. They practice good
The
witchcraft, not
healing
evil
arts,
witchcraft.
right? They're healers.
Exactly. In fact, the youngest one practices a lot in the local villages and heals the children that get sick and spends a lot of time with the children. So she's like a pediatrician, basically. And then as the book progresses, they are going off to other areas because one of the witches did a little evil spell and they basically got thrown out of town.
Yeah, because
So they're heading
someone
off.
was bad to her. That one of the councilmen, one of the politicians,
Exactly.
was disrespectful and
Exactly.
didn't pay her for her work, and she turned him into a pig.
Exactly.
Because that's what he
Exactly.
acted like.
That part I like.
I
So
did too, because
they have
he deserved it.
to head out of town. So they go to our main focus, which is a village, town, and castle called Vilgar. And this is where the king and the royal family are located. And this is where the witches go to set up in the forest around Vilgar. And this is where the main action takes place in the trilogy, in Vilgar itself. And then later on, an evil sorcerer comes into the story. His name's Malachar, and he comes in with the intent and purpose that he wants to take over control of Vilgar and the castle and the realm because the king's aging. And then a good wizard by the name of Martyr makes an appearance, and he agrees to be an apprentice to Malachar. So the story goes on from there and develops how Malachar gets enhances his evil tendencies even more by discovering and being able to open the Book of Spells. And as the book progresses, he's
Yeah.
able to perform even more and more evil spells to the point where the ruby that's embedded in this ancient book becomes embedded in his forehead and enhances his abilities even more.
Yeah, reminds me
So
a
at
little of Darth Vader. Remember, he had to put on that mask to cover because it was part of
Exactly.
the evil that he was able to do. Yeah, there are
Exactly.
more things in heaven and earth than we can ever truly know. So,
Oh, yeah.
the
Oh, yeah.
possibilities are endless. But let's go. Yes. That's those are the characters that I wrote down here that I wanted you to cover, 'cause they were all very interesting, very well developed, and you kind of like got caught up in the whole life of the castle, and then young King Audric has two children, Brayden and Tiana, and the years pass, and it's a very interesting story. And what do you think are some of the common themes or threads that float throughout the book and call attention to issues in any time or place that most people
Well,
are dealing with?
in this book, not the second book, but in this book, love of family, devotion of family, a family's jeopardized, and the king goes after Malachar, who captures actually the good wizard Martyr. So the love and devotion of friends, love and devotion of family. The family aspect is more developed in the second book, because Malachar comes back on the scene in the second book, but we'll get to that one
You
in a few
know
months.
what I also okay. You know what I also thought was a common theme and thread? That this king wanted to do good for his people. He was a good leader, and his son was also a good young man. And then when the wizard came in, the second wizard, Martyr, he was also a good leader who saw what was happening with the corruption that was going on with the one who wanted power for himself and didn't really care. So I think that relates a lot to modern times right now, what we see happening all across the world. People in every nation, if they're fortunate enough to want to serve and want to protect and want to heal, whatever they're in, whatever profession they're in, they're doing good in the world, and we need more and more of that. And I saw that as a very important common thread of this book. Now, I recently read that men who are fortunate enough to have good relationships with the women in their lives often are found to be happier and healthier in their later years. As a medical doctor and man, and someone who wrote such a spiritual book, why would you say this is the case?
Well, I can speak firsthand on that. I've been married to my wife now for 35 years, and she literally is the most precious gift I've ever been given in my life. She's fantastic. She's a gourmet cook. She's an artist. She's intelligent. She's everything to me. And we
You
talk about this a
respect her.
lot, the
Yeah,
fact.
you
Oh my
respect her
God,
talents.
absolutely.
You want her to develop her talents. You don't have a competitive, male-female type thing. You do this, I do that. You're more in sync with the beauty of her
Totally.
spirit and soul and well-being. You want, and that is the sign of a really good marriage and a good country
Well,
and a good government and everything that works. Less competition, more respect and honor and appreciation. Yeah, I think that's great that you said that. All right.
I also
And
see a lot of men
I
who.
bet you had a good relationship with your mother also, or
Oh,
grandmother.
totally. Totally. I adored my mother. I
Yeah.
adored my mother. I adored my father. I still miss my father. He passed in 88, and I still think about him a lot too. But I was going to say about my wife, whenever I introduce her to anybody, I introduce her as my better three quarters, not my better half, but my better three quarters.
Oh, that's nice. I never heard it that way.
It's interesting because a lot of men get jealous if their wives are successful, and we see it on the TV all the time. And I turn to her and I say, "Honey, feel free to go out tomorrow morning and make $20 million. I'd be very happy about that."
My husband is always saying those type of things to me too. Isn't it time for you to do something else? I've already had seven careers, and been very happy in each experience that I have had because they all built on the next development
One another, right?
and led me to. Some people stay in one career forever, and that's okay. But in my case, I had the flexibility and the resources to be able to explore many different areas, and that has been a great gift to me. a great gift
That's
to me.
fabulous.
And I guess the people I have met too, because I've helped a lot of people along the way. So I guess that was my destiny and my plan. So I'm very happy for that. Now, as a
Excellent.
pediatrician, I am sure you have seen a wide range of behaviors from parents that are unaware of the effect every word and action has on their children. Can you tell us something that you would hope parents of today can start to bring into their everyday actions with their children? This is important, especially in these very challenging, changing times. The
Well,
children, yeah.
the most important thing to me, and part of the reason I started writing the books, and I've done my website, which is keepourkidsreading.org. I would love these parents to understand you have got to start reading to your child from the time they're babies. Read, read, read. And then as they get a little bit older, get a reading session every day, several times a week. Sit around and read to your kids. And your children should see you sitting there reading also, not just everybody sitting around the restaurant table on their iPhones. That's
Right.
not ideal.
No.
They need to communicate. And that's how you learn, not looking at an iPhone or an iPad. Sit there, read, discuss what you're reading, communicate with your kids. As a real quick aside, there was a study that I sat in on and I heard about 25, 30 years ago. They had a mother who was pregnant. She was about 7, 8 months pregnant. They hooked her up to monitors to monitor the baby's heart rate while the baby was in utero. When strangers were in the room talking to her, the baby's heart rate would go up high because the baby inside the mother didn't recognize the voice of the stranger. When the father walked in the room and started talking, the heart rate settled down. The baby inside the mother recognized the father's voice. So it's important, even when the babies are delivered and they're just 1 month, 2 months old, sit there and read to them. It comforts them with the sound and the intonation of your voice.
You know,
Very important.
when you just said that study, I'm reminded of a study that Dr. Omoto did about the molecular structure of water and how words or music or other stimuli created a molecular structure to change. So if he put beautiful words and put it on a paper and put it under the jar of water, beautiful designs could be seen in the microscope, crystallizing. But if he used toxic negative words or thoughts were spoken, the molecular structure showed cancer-like destructive patterns. And you know, when a child is in utero, it's all water. So it's the same type
Absolutely.
of setting we're talking about. We are beings of much water, so our systems are impacted by the words, tones, and environment we are exposed to. You know, in my book, The Living Spirit, talking about children, I mentioned that we take notice of children who exhibit imaginative spiritual gifts and awareness. And I wrote, "Have you ever known a child that seems wise beyond his or her years? Know things they couldn't possibly know?" We often call these children old souls, when the truth is, all children are aware of spirit much more so than adults. We come into this three-dimensional world very aware of the higher world and the friends we have left in order to have a human experience. As we grow up, most of us learn to ignore these gifts in the face of reality. However, in order to remember our true divine nature and realize our spiritual gifts and indeed the gift of life, we must often disregard this physical reality and learn to see things as we did as children. And that's what your book
Right.
did. People were able to remember things that were really important to them when they were younger and magical for them. So, what would be the message you hope readers discover after reading the Book of Spells?
I hope it imparts to them to have their children, to help their children to engage their intellects, their imaginations, their sense of adventure, including the adults, because what I want to have happen eventually when I can get these books into the kids' hands in hospitals, if the child's too sick to read it, I want the adult, the father, the mother, to sit there and read the book to the child and engage the child in doing that. So it's
Absolutely.
important.
Yeah.
It's important.
I want to share a secret with you.
Okay.
I have a big collection of children's books. I love children's books. They're magical, and
They are. Oh my
they're
God.
just as important for the child to the parent to read with the child, because there are moral messages in those books that are very powerful, and the parents are growing with their children. So I thank you for saying that, because it brought back to me how many children books I look at, and how many I am amused at, and how many I love, and how many I share with so many people. So I want to thank you, Dr. John Miller, author of the Book of Spells, for sharing a mystical tale of witches, wizards, kings, and magic, and the goodness or evil that lies within human nature that transcends time and space and is always present to remind us of the power of choice. That is the true gift of life. To purchase this creative and imaginative book, go to thebookofspells.com or amazon.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have discovered age-old remnants of the most important aspects of living in a physical and also metaphysical world. We have seen the power of love, leadership, and kindness as adverse to the greed and manipulation by one wizard who sought power and one wizard who sought to serve his king and bring love, prosperity, and honor to the citizens. We have traveled to a past time and place where people sought answers to human problems, how to lead, how to share, how to love, and how to heal past any trauma or loss. Even within what seems like a fanciful or fictional story, there are the seeds of truth, inspiration, and knowledge that can help us appreciate those in our life who share the magic and mystery of experiences that can lead us to know life on a multidimensional way. Life may be a mystery, but in the relationships of love, learning, and receiving love, we discover that there really is no mystery, just remembering how good life, family, and community are in all worlds. Dr. Miller writes of the love Martyr, the wizard, had for King Audric and his family. And he wrote, he knew that this would be the last opportunity for quite some time that he would be able to see his friend and king, Audric, as well as Alexandra, Braden, Tiana, and Christian. He loved them all so very much. They truly were his only family. He thought longingly of his years in the castle when he was able to watch the children grow. He looked on them as a grandfather would admire his own children. Someday he hoped to see them married and as happy as their parents. All this he would miss dearly, but he knew in his heart all of this he must give up for the safety of his adopted family. John and I would have you travel the road of your inner longings for life and love and family and the truth within our inspired imagination for the love of life. In the magic of unconditional love, we only discover who we are and the eternal nature of life that leads us on a journey of soul growth. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and invite you to visit my website, cherylglick.com, to read about and listen to the exploration of metaphysics, science, psychology, medicine, spirituality, and the arts and music as we explore our human and divine energies. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you.